Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 1-800-521-9579 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-521-9579 to take your call right now. Call 1-800-521-9579. That's 1-800-521-9579. Again, 1-800-521-9579.
You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio, broadcast from the offices of RightSource Marketing at Refraction. This is your host, Herb Cohen, with my co-host, Mike Sweeney, RightSource Marketing, Steve Huberman, Colliers International, Gregory Sullivan, Sullivan Bruett, Spiros and Blaney, Jeffrey Katz, J.D. Katz, Lisa Kirchenbauer, Omega Wealth Management, and Chris Turley, First Virginia Community Bank. We have a great lineup of guests for on our show today, including John Boylan, President and CEO of Dulles Regional Chamber of Commerce, Deeka Carr, Vice President, Team Leader, M&T Bank, Kelly Campbell, President and CEO of Campbell Wealth Management, and Junius Tillery, Executive Managing Director of Newmark Knight Frank. Let's get to know our first guest, John Boylan, President and CEO of Dulles Regional Chamber of Commerce. John, what is the Dulles Regional Chamber of Commerce?
The Dulles Regional Chamber of Commerce is 600 members strong, located in Northern Virginia, 8-mile radius around the Dulles Airport.
And let's see, so you're running the Chamber of Commerce, huh? Where are you from originally?
I grew up in Staten Island, New York.
How many brothers and sisters?
One brother, younger than I was.
Uh-huh. And tell us a little bit about what was going on with you and your younger brother and sports and stuff like that.
Grew up playing a lot of baseball and basketball. He played some. We typical sibling rivalries, and he wasn't as active with the sports. So I was always trying to get him out and play catch and get out.
So you were pretty competitive, but you told me that you played basketball and baseball, and I think it was tennis as well, didn't you?
Yes, I started playing tennis. I was a little guy, even though I was the older brother. I was a lot smaller, and I decided in high school when I didn't make the baseball and basketball team, I needed to try something else, and tennis became my passion.
Uh-huh. Didn't you tell us you won some sort of an award when you were about 9?
Yes. When I played baseball, I typically was awarded the Sportsmanship Award.
Why were you awarded the Sportsmanship Award?
I was the guy that always tried to help and cheer people on and, root for the team and tell everybody we can do better.
Gregory, did you have a question?
Yeah, I was wondering, what kind of influence did your coaches have on you?
Coaches were a huge influence. In fact, I still remember their names, and I continue to coach my kids. I have 3 children and coach probably over 20 teams with different types of sports.
What was special with any of those coaches? Anything special with them?
Yeah, the fact of the patience, working with you to help you figure out how to run plays, playing basketball, how to work, with the other parents, coaching. I remember one time the pitcher on the other team would bounce the ball across the plate and the umpire was calling a strike. And they kind of lost their patience. So it's okay to get mad sometimes, but
you really enjoyed coaching by your coaches. What's that have to do with working with your board of directors at the Chamber of Commerce?
So working with the board, they're the boss when you're at the chamber. So I almost have 600 bosses. We've got 30 people on the board. That coaching comes in pretty important because you got to figure out the direction, work with them with a common goal. So coaching is
so the same
valuable.
Same way that Greg picked up on the fact that you like to be coached as a kid, and by the way, you happen to be a coach now as an adult. It's the same thing as working with all those constituencies. It's not like you're telling them what to do. You're trying to make everybody happy, aren't you?
Absolutely. But there's limits, right? It's fair but firm in order to figure out the direction. It isn't just to make them happy.
Who's got the right next question here?
So John, you just got a lot of what there with the firm but fair, but where's the why behind it?
Jeffrey, come up closer to that.
You've got a lot of what behind the firm, but fair. But what's the why behind that?
Yeah, the why is because you need to get better results, right? So you can do it, but you have to figure out why you want to achieve those things. And I think that's a clear objective. Much like when I was in the Air Force, you know, it took a lot of time for planning, figure out what we wanted to do, what was the goal, and you set that goal and got the team to work together to get the results.
What's your why?
My why is to give back, right? So I felt a call for service. And I answered that call with going to the U.S. Air Force and served there for over 20 years. As I went through, in fact, joining the chamber goes back to a time when I was out addressing the town council in Ridgecrest, California. And I had this little voice that said, you're helping every other community in the country, but you're not helping your own community. If you ever get the call, you need to answer it.
Lisa, did you have a question?
Yeah. You know, John, you had told us that your dad was a salesman in New York City and your mom was a stay-at-home mom. And one of the things that you got from her is worry about the people. And I'm wondering how that impacts the work that you do with the chamber at this point.
So you've heard about Tiger moms. My mom was a Labrador Retriever mom. So I'd get a report card. You pull out one side, it had the grades, and on the back it had conduct and effort. And she would pull it out and flip it over. She wouldn't look at the grades. And her point was, if you tried your best and you behaved yourself, then I don't care what those numbers are on the back.
So how do you bring that to your job now, you know, with this chamber and 600 members? How is that impacting what you're doing today?
So it's not just looking at results. Part of the job as a leader is to make sure people are in the right positions. Much like those sports analogies that you often say don't talk about sports, but making sure you got the person that's best in infield, not sitting in the outfield. I do the same thing with the work and with our members.
Mr. Sweeney?
So I want to go back to coaching. How old are the kids you coach?
Typically, when I did it, they were, you know, preteens.
Have you been able to draw parallels between those ages and those kids and coaching that team and running an organization?
Yeah, sometimes, but I don't say that publicly.
Steven? Yes, did.
When we talked earlier, you were mentioning that one of the missions of the chamber was to make sure kids in need had lunches every day. And I think that's probably not something people would expect to hear from a standard chamber of commerce. Where's this compassion come from to have that broader mission for you?
So when you look at where we are, I bound two different counties, Loudoun County and Fairfax County, two of the wealthiest counties in the entire United States. And so everybody assumes that we're probably one of the wealthiest chambers, but the fact is we still have problems. And if we've got problems with all those 600 members, we've got some issues with employees, right? We've got people that are distracted, maybe people working two or three jobs. And so we've got to work on those other common issues, the community issues, to make sure that they're satisfied so they get better employees.
Lisa, what else do you think?
Yeah, you know, I think I'm going to tie two things together. You keep talking about yourself as the little guy, and then you talk about worrying about the people. And what I'm hearing is that you're worrying about what some people may say, the little people, the people who are making everything happen for us, all of the support people. You care about them, too. It's not just about the CEO of the business. It's about all the people in the counties.
Yeah, absolutely. I saw that 10 years downtown working at a lobbying firm, and you saw all sorts of folks come in, right? So it was the top CEOs flying in the private jet, but it was also the local communities looking for some help and figuring out how to work the Hill budgets.
John, what stage of life are you at nowadays?
So I'm, you know, late 50s and, you know, thinking about the future, what happens, brand new grandparent. And so it's not necessarily the urge to try to make more money, but it's really to help people and drive that community. We've got a tremendous opportunity in that Dulles region. I've got a brand new metro line with five stations. We've got the potential for an Amazon headquarters. And I've got a huge complex with that Dulles corridor with the state-of-the-art technologies with space and information sciences. So we can really do actually, you know, influence the whole country.
Wait a minute. You started off your sentence by telling us that it's not about the money. What are you talking about? I thought that's the reason people do things and people become presidents and CEOs is to make a lot of money.
Yeah, well, I think I missed that course. I didn't get my MBA. I got a master's in art. So it isn't about the money. It's not a number of zeros. The folks that I know typically trying to add more and more zeros often lose focus. So mm-hmm. part of this is figuring out where you want to go and what you want to do. Mm-hmm. Money is important. Mm-hmm. I work for a not-for-profit.
Are you married or single?
I'm married.
Uh-huh. How many years?
35 years.
Uh-huh. What's the similarity between running a... Do you have any kids?
Three kids.
What's the similarity between running a chamber of commerce and being a dad?
It's the patients and counseling, right? It's the all those issues.
Am I putting words in your mouth, or is there really a similarity?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's not just the chamber. It's any business I've been in, right? It's even with the crew. So I remember flying in the Air Force. We used to take cockpit resource management. How do you work together as a team, understanding them? You do the same thing with a family. Three kids eat the same food, go to the same schools, and they all come out different. So you have to treat them differently.
So you're seeing real similarities between all the different things you've done with people. It's all about people for you. Craig, what else are you thinking there?
Yeah, so how close was your family when you were growing up?
Very close.
Yeah, so you and your brother and your parents, everybody was close.
So, and our family was small, but my dad came from 9 brothers and sisters. His parents came from Ireland. My mom's parents both came from Norway, still spoke Norwegian until my mom passed at 93. So it's an immigrant story, but one that doesn't typically get told.
Yeah, so those relationships and you building relationships, even within your family, extending out, I think has had a huge influence on you.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
What does he mean by that? What are you talking about, John?
Well, I still stay in touch with my brother. My parents have both passed, but those are the roots, right? Same thing with high school. I went to, Staten Island is, it's not Manhattan. It's not the big lights. It's the workers' place. That's where the 2-bedroom houses were. My best friends are folks from high school. I just went back and celebrated our 48th reunion with a bunch of my friends, which are dear friends.
Your middle name is Reach Out, but on the other hand, it's also stay in relationship with. What's the website address of the Dulles Regional Chamber of Commerce?
Excuse me?
The website address for the Dulles.
The website is dulleschamber.org.
Let me have that one more time.
dulleschamber.org.
We've been speaking with John Boylan, President and CEO of the Dulles Regional Chamber of Commerce, with my co-host Mike Sweeney, Right Source Marketing, Steve Huberman, Colliers International, Gregory Sullivan, Bruette, Spiros, and Blaney, Jeffrey Katz, J.D. Katz, Lisa Kirchenbauer, Omega Wealth Management, and Chris Turley, First Virginia Community Bank. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com, to learn more about our executive leaders. It's executiveleadersradio.com to learn more about our executive leaders. We'll be back in a moment, right after this break. And your name and organization is?
Stephen Potter. I'm with Sullivan, Bruette, Spiros, and Blaney.
And what does that company do, and what's your role in the company?
Well, the company is a high-end wealth management firm that works with clients to secure their retirement and their financial future. And I'm a client advisor and a director at the firm.
And why do you enjoy your job as a wealth manager at this firm?
Well, the part I enjoy most about the job is actually working with the clients. And so problem solving, trying to take a lifetime's worth of work and transitioning it into a secure financial future is enjoyable.
Mm-hmm. Didn't you mention you had a special understanding of numbers and you loved numbers and stuff like that?
Yeah, I think it's one of the things that drew me to the business.
How young were you when that proclivity with numbers began to show up? What was going on back then when you were a kid?
I don't know. That's a good question. Loved baseball when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. Baseball is very statistics oriented, so I think that might have pulled it out of me.
So you like baseball and the statistics in baseball, and you see some similarity between that and wealth management. What do you see? Where's the parallel there?
Sure. I mean, things like standard deviation and Sharpe ratio and all of those type of measures are important in constructing an appropriate portfolio, and those type of things have other applications.
What was your role in the baseball team?
Well, you know what? I played a little bit of baseball. Usually, I was a pitcher. Uh-huh. I was the kid nobody wanted to face because I could throw hard, but had no accuracy whatsoever.
So, what's that have to do with your role at this wealth management firm?
I don't know. It's a good question. I don't know if I can.
Mm-hmm. You're the pitcher. It sounds like the wealth manager. You're taking the lead role.
Well,
What's the website address of the firm?
SBSBLLC.com.
Let me have that one more time.
SBSBLLC.com.
And your name again is?
Steve Potter.
And this has been your Business Spotlight.
Nailed it.
National Funding Group has just released $100 million in easy access small business funding to businesses that gross at least $100,000 a year. You can have fast access up to $500,000 in new business capital in as little as 48 hours. Think about the ways you could grow your business if you had up to a $500,000 cash infusion.
Call a NFG funding expert now. The process is easy. It only takes about 5 minutes. Then our management-owned lending team looks at your application for a fast approval. You can get 100% funded in about 2 days. If you need up to $500,000 in working capital to run your business and you gross at least $100,000 a year, call NFG and apply today. 800-296-1564. 800-296-1564. 800-296-1564. That's 800-296-1564.
What is term life insurance? It's basically a financial protection plan for your family if you pass away. It can be a hard purchase. Think about it. It's one of the few major purchases you can make that you will personally never use. But you've got to have it to protect your family, and you owe it to yourself to shop and compare to get the best possible rates. For term life insurance policies of $500,000 or more, call the Term Lifeline today.
800-957-6068. That's 800-957-6068. Remember, we specialize in term life insurance policies of $500,000 or more, and we have great rates for smokers too. So call today. 800-957-6068. 800-957-6068. That's 800-957-6068.
Biz Talk Radio.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen. And we'd like to introduce Dee Kakar, who's Vice President, Team Leader with M&T Bank. Dee, what is M&T Bank?
M&T Bank is a super regional bank located in the Northeast, from Buffalo, New York, all the way down to Richmond, Virginia.
How large or small is this organization?
M&T Bank is amongst the 15th largest bank in the country.
Uh-huh. And where are you from originally?
I was born in Lubbock, Texas, grew up in Southern California.
Uh-huh. How many brothers and sisters you got?
I have two younger brothers.
So you're the oldest of three, huh?
Yes, sir.
And let's see here. Didn't your mother run some kind of a business when you were a kid?
Yeah, my mother ran a sandwich store when I was approximately 8 years old, all the way up until about I was 13.
So how young were you when you started working in that sandwich store?
I worked on at the sandwich store day one at eight.
Doing at age 8 years old, what were you doing in the sandwich store? How'd you start off there?
Well, I mean, I would come home after school and I would help out when needed. You know, I think my worst memory is cleaning the grill.
What was happening at the age of 10?
At 10, my grandfather passed away, and my mother had to go to India, where she's from, as I had to run the sandwich store at 10.
Excuse me? Let me have that again?
I had to run the sandwich store as my dad worked for JPL. I was in charge of hiring and firing, making sandwiches, ordering meat.
The cash and everything else? You were 10 years old.
Yep.
You didn't have to do that, did they? I mean, you could have backed out of it, and they could have also shut the shop down. But for some reason, they trusted you, didn't they? And you stepped up to the plate. What was that all about?
I don't think I had an option at that point. And in fact, I don't think I knew any better. It was just expected.
Jeffrey?
What, having come through the sandwich shop at age 10 and 13, how does it affect your perception of businesses now and with your work in M&T?
You can tell what businesses have put a lot of thought into their business and you know, what they're actually going to accomplish. So there's a lot you can tell from the character of an entrepreneur.
Growing up, you mentioned earlier that both of your parents had immigrated from India. What did that do to their expectations of you, their oldest son?
There was a lot of expectations on the oldest son in India. It's a
like what?
I had to set the example for my brothers. I had to make sure that I had good grades in school.
How did you know that? Did they tell you that, or did you just assume that?
I just assumed that. I didn't know any different. So,
What does that have to do with your role nowadays? How's that affecting your business career? The fact that your parents placed certain expectations on you because they were immigrants.
Well, I mean, I have a team of business bankers, and I expect them to succeed.
Lisa, what are you picking up?
Yeah, well, we had talked earlier about how you had grown up some in Lubbock, Texas, or you were born there. You went to Southern California. You were in Alexandria, Virginia. You were back in California before you came to D.C. And how did all that travel impact you both then and now as you work with people?
I have to jump into situations right away, being able to adapt to any situation that I'm thrust into.
Mm-hmm. Lisa, go ahead.
Yeah, you had told us, you've spoken a lot about how your dad worked at JPL at Jet Propulsion Labs, and I'm wondering, how come you didn't go into dad's business?
Well, being a son of an immigrant whose discipline was chemistry and physics, I kind of gravitated more to the business side of it, I guess, where my mom was an entrepreneur, mm-hmm. so that was more appealing to me at that
point. More the people side.
Greg, what do you got? What do you think?
Yeah, so who would have had a greater influence on you, do you think, your mom or your dad?
I think I'm a combination of both of them. I think I'm part of my mom's entrepreneur spirit, her ability to adapt to any situation, and I'm part of my dad's discipline and hard work that will pay off in the long run.
Mm-hmm. How does that translate to what you do daily?
I think it translates to the fact that I expect a lot from my team, but I...
Not your team, you. How does it affect you?
Oh, good question. I think I'm a little bit, adapting to certain situations. I definitely have to do that.
When you make credit decisions, do you base those on what a computer outputs, or is it based on your gut?
Well, fortunately, I don't make any credit decisions. However, I do compile all the information in order to do so.
When you make a recommendation,
it's a lot about the character of an individual. The numbers are the numbers, but I think there's a story and there's a greater importance upon what we can deliver as bankers.
Why is that important?
It tells a story. It tells someone's spirit. It tells them where they've come from. It tells them what they're doing, what their vision is. I think it's everything.
Mr. Huberman, what do you think?
Where do you get your ambition from?
I get my ambition, I would say, from not failing. I think that probably is a driver of where I've been through my entire life. I've worked at McDonald's. Figured out what I don't want to do in life, and it drives me to where I am today.
Mr. Sweeney, what are you thinking?
You mentioned going back to managing the store at age 10 and hiring and firing both children and adults, and now I think you said you supervise 6 relationship managers in your business. What did you learn about relationships early on that you're carrying forward today?
It's important to build a team and a team of like-minded individuals. My team is everything to me, and that's why I think they've stuck with me so long. I think the relationships that we make with our employees as well as with our clients propel us and fuel us.
Greg, what are you picking up? What are you picking up?
Going back to your family issues, how close are you with your brothers?
My brothers and I I would say we were a lot closer younger, but, different things pull us apart. So, I would like to say that we are close, but I definitely were closer when we were kids.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you have a close family when you were growing up?
Yeah, we were very close. I mean, being a son of 2 immigrants, that's all we knew.
But what were conversations around the dinner table like when you were a kid?
Well, a lot about sports. So I think the interesting thing, my grandfather played soccer for India, and my dad was a cricket player, and he ran track. So I aspired to sports at an early age.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Do you have any pets when you were a kid?
Pets?
Yeah.
No.
No pets.
Wasn't allowed.
How come?
My mom would not allow them. She does not like animals.
Uh-huh. So you were, like, disciplined. It was like sports. It was you got expectations placed on you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Lisa, what else are you picking up?
Yeah, I guess back to when you were 10 and here you are responsible for hiring people. How did you know who was a good person and who was not a good person, and how do you bring that into your work today?
Well, fortunately for me, my team has been with me for a while. We did have experience where we had to bring in a new relationship manager. I think it's important that you see a business development aspect of a person as well as someone that can...
But deeper than that. There's got to be something you're picking up. I mean, at 10...
How about your intuition? You ever use your intuition in business?
All the time.
Wait. But you're a banker. Should you be admitting that you're using your intuition in business if you're a banker?
Yeah, I mean, it's got to be a differentiator that a lot of banks are the same, but how do you make yourself different?
I just wanted to know, Stephen, what's the last question here? What are you thinking?
What do you think your background and diversity brings to today's workplace?
I think it's a broader spectrum from where I've come from to where I am now. You know, the world's interesting right now, so I can rely on my past experiences to make decisions today.
Yeah, because you grew up in a pretty diverse neighborhood, you had mentioned to us. Yeah? What's the website address for this bank, M&T Bank?
MTB.com.
Let me have that one more time.
MTB.com.
We've been speaking with Dee Kakar, Vice President, Team Leader at M&T Bank here on Executive Leaders Radio with my co-hosts, Mike Sweeney, RightSource Marketing, Steve Huberman, Colliers International, Gregory Sullivan, Bruett, Spiros, and Blaney, Jeffrey Katz, J.D. Katz, Lisa Kirschenbauer, Omega Wealth Management, and Chris Turley, First Virginia Community Bank. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com. We'll be back in a moment. We nailed it.
BizTalk News wants to feature your business as part of our Discovery feature, which highlights businesses that are not yet known nationally, but offer products or services that benefit BizTV viewers. Available in over 40 markets on broadcast TV and online via BizTVClub.com. BizTV wants to help get the word out about your business. If you're interested in having your business featured on a future episode of BizTalk Discovery, email us at discovery@BizTV.com.
If you're over the age of 50 and considering buying an annuity in the next 60 days, I have some important news for you. Don't buy an annuity until you understand the pros and cons of annuities. A free book to help you maximize your retirement income from television host and three-time author Josh Melberg has been released. This book reveals little-known truths about annuity strategies in simple-to-understand terms. Grab a pen right now, because we are about to offer you this free book that unlocks the five little-known secrets we believe baby boomers and seniors should know before buying an annuity. Call 800-935-0752 now and you'll receive a free copy of Josh Milberg's book, Next Gen Annuity Strategies Revealed. As a bonus, we'll also send you a copy of The Number One Mistakes Retirees Are Making With Their Investments Today and a free DVD on how you can get up to 33% more income in retirement. Call 800-935-0752. That's 800-935-0752. Employees of J.D. Melberg Financial have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer.
GEICO presents Unhelpful Home Improvement How-Tos.
You can't predict when a pipe will burst, but when one does, you'll have quite a mess on your hands. So today, I'll show you how to prep for water damage by covering everything you own in plastic wrap. All you need is a lot of patience and 15,000 feet of plastic wrap. Now let's get started.
You could try to protect your stuff by covering it in plastic wrap, or you could get covered for personal property damage through the GEICO Insurance Agency. Visit GEICO.com and see how affordable renter's insurance can be.
Due to an upturn in the economy, Main Street Business Loans has pre-approved the release of millions of dollars in small business funding. Your business may already be pre-approved to receive up to $250,000. We've sent out millions of pre-approval letters. We see the economy growing, and our underwriters believe now is the time to invest in your business so you can grow faster and make more money. And we're prepared to give you up to $250,000 to do it. Your funds can be available in 5 days. There are no application fees, no annual fees, just quick access to up to $250,000. If your business did not receive your approval letter to get up to $250,000, call Main Street Business Loans Approval Desk now.
800-430-7570, 800-430-7570, 800-430-7570, that's 800-430-7570.
Are you ready to leave your corporate job behind and be your own boss? Have you ever dreamed of owning a business? Do you have $50,000 or more sitting around in a 401k? If you answered yes, it's time to invest in yourself by buying or starting a business or franchise. IRS code allows you to use money in a 401k to invest in a business with absolutely no penalties or taxes. At Guidant Financial, we've helped more than 11,000 entrepreneurs invest $3 billion in retirement assets into the small businesses and franchises of their dreams. So if you've got $50,000 or more in a 401k and you're looking for a way to start a business, call Guidant Financial now for free information and to learn more. Operators are standing by for your call. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. That's 800-570-6630.
If Ernest Hemingway was alive today, would he say this to you?
Shakespeare, Mark Twain, Edgar Allan Poe.
all great writers. And after reading your book, I simply must add you to the list.
Wait, you don't have a book yet. So make a free call to Page Publishing. Their expert staff can help you turn your book idea into a real book, a masterpiece that could someday make the bestseller list in hard copy and digitally all across the world. Page Publishing can help you completely take your idea for a book, write it, and publish it. So if you want to join the ranks of some of the most famous authors in the world, call now for a free information kit. Turn your book idea into publishing gold. Make a free call right now to Page Publishing.
888-785-0618. 888-785-0618. 888-785-0618. That's 888-785-0618.
Biz Talk Radio.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen. We'd like to introduce Kelly Campbell, President and CEO of Campbell Wealth Management. Kelly, what is Campbell Wealth Management? What are you guys doing?
Well, our specialty, we're a wealth management firm that really focuses on helping people in retirement. So everybody 55 plus that are looking at everything from their assets to everything they experience through retirement.
Mm-hmm. Where are you from originally?
An Army brat from when I was really young, but really ended up in Baltimore.
Uh-huh. How many brothers and sisters do you have?
I got one brother and one sister.
And where are you in the pecking order?
I am the youngest.
Uh-huh. And didn't you mention something happened when you were about 14 years old?
Yeah, my father passed away when I was in high school.
Uh-huh. What happened to the family dynamic when Dad passed away and you were 14 years old?
Well, my mother wasn't left in the best situation, unfortunately, so there wasn't a whole lot of life insurance. And you know, I just found out how difficult it was for her and how she had to really take care of things. She was taking care of, you know, a house and three kids, and she had a job as a travel agent and just didn't make that much money, but she did a great job of it.
Uh-huh. So what role did you take on?
Even though I was the youngest, I was the entrepreneur of the family. I always had that background, so I loved, you know, going out and finding ways to make money and do things, and it ended up helping my mother because I could pitch in, you know, with the family and do a lot of things. And my father also taught me a lot of things, how to work with my hands, how to fix things, so anytime things, you know, anything would break, I would also be able to fix it.
And so it's interesting that at the age of 14 that your dad passed and that you took on this role of entrepreneuring, and it's interesting, that's what you're doing in terms of your career, isn't it, is helping other folks like you helped your mom.
I guess that's a good way to look at it, because if you think about it, you know, even in retirement, whether, you know, you have two people or someone passes, you know, you're still struggling with, you don't have an income anymore. So you're really, your focus is, I've got to be able to retire.
Yeah, you got comfortable. You could work you could work through that. It sounds to me like you're the kind of guy to put your head down and just makes it happen. And you became comfortable you could, which is what you're doing for a career. So tell us, how young were you when you started making money?
I was probably about 6 years old when I started with a grass cutting business.
Uh-huh. And didn't you tell us that at some point in time you made a capital investment? What was that all about?
Yeah, of course, I didn't know what the word capital investment really meant at age 8, but I did buy a riding lawnmower.
You bought a riding lawnmower?
Right.
With your own money?
That's correct.
Uh-huh. And what happened at the age of 13 or 14?
Well, I had been doing a number of different jobs, so not only cutting grass and you know, but just making money in different ways. And so one of the things that I had started working with one of my neighbors, he had a body and fender business, and unfortunately he lost that business because, you know, he didn't make good financial decisions, but I rented the garage from the person that bought his house. And so I was able to ride that or borrow that. I was able to take over kind of the business that he had there, and I was running a body and fender business.
For how long?
I did it all the way through college.
Wait, hold on. So you're 14 years old and the business is failing. You went ahead and, as a dummy, went ahead and rented the space and made it a successful business at the age of 14?
Yes.
And how many years did you run that for?
Oh, for well over a decade.
Why were you able to make it successful?
Well, it was, I wouldn't say it was a huge business.
It doesn't matter. The point was it was failing, and you made it successful for 5 or 6 years.
I looked for, you know, I found business. I helped people, you know, get the outcome they wanted.
You have an instinct for help for building a business. Lisa, what questions do you have?
Yeah, I want to continue with that building idea. I mean, the businesses you described, you're working with your hands, mowing grass, body and fender business, and yet you're doing wealth management. How do those two things connect now?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, from the standpoint of building things, you know, definitely still I'm very constructive with my hands, still like to do that. But, you know, I guess where I am today, I'm building a business. I'm building a clientele. I'm building something bigger than me that can help a number of different people. You know, if I fix something that's a small piece of what I can do, if I help a number of people, that's really what I want to focus
Greg,
on.
Greg, what are you picking up?
Yeah, so who would you say had the greatest influence on you? Was it maybe a teacher or a family member or?
You know, I think I've always been into, I've always had coaches. When I was younger, I read Tony Robbins' books. I've literally had probably 30 coaches in my life. And so because I heard more about Tony Robbins in the beginning, I think that had a really big impact on me.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Sweeney?
So talk about building something else. You wrote a book called Fire Your Broker. Sounds awfully contrarian, and I got to believe that spirit must have come from mom or dad or some mentor growing up to allow you to kind of have that type of voice.
Yeah, you know, I always thought that, you know, at some point I need to write a book. And, you know, I talked about it and talked about it, and finally, you know, I developed the mindset for it and said, okay, here's what I'm going to do. And I just started waking up at 4 o'clock in the morning, started writing for 2 hours every morning. I hired an editor to help me put it all together. And within about 6 months, we had it out. And it was right around the time of Bernie Madoff, which was perfect timing for it because it was really about, you know, all these people that were being, you know, their retirements were ruined because of him.
Jeffrey?
So Kelly, having come through this experience of having lost your dad and having seen mom, you know, struggling, how has that affected, you know, the advice that you give your clients?
Well, I think there's two sides to look at it. There's the opportunity side, and then there's the risk side. You know, and I think my mother's situation was more risky than opportunistic. But I like to focus on both. So I really help people understand that, hey, let's cover the risk, but let's really look what's out there. Anything's possible. So when you retire, why not make retirement better than you ever thought it could be?
Do you think the experience you've had puts you in a different position than someone who hasn't had that experience, you know, when it comes to advising your clients?
You know, I'll put it a different way. So, yes, definitely, but my mother always told me, and I remember this like it was yesterday, she always said, you can do anything you put your mind to. And she used to say that thousands of times. I just, you know, that goes through my head. And so I guess that, well, the way I look at it is that any of my clients, they can do anything they want to, but most of them don't know that.
Steven,
and most of the time, just helping them understand that.
How do you measure your success?
You know, I mean, sometimes it's, you know, money is a, you know, obviously a marker because it shows where you are. But my success really, I mean, I really get wired when I see a client, you know, accomplish some of the things that I help them accomplish. And not just the monetary side of it, but, you know, being able to get closer to the kids and do fun stuff and, you know, those kind of things. That really drives me.
Mr. Huberman?
So a lot of different characteristics and creative things you've done, some of them are which are contrary in writing a book like that. So I think I've always thought that there's a fine line sort of between being creative and being stubborn or bullheaded. So I guess the question is, which are you and why?
I've got that mindset that anything's possible, and I'm going to push to the limits every single time. I'm going to do everything I can to help not only my clients, but also my team. I think my team's equally as important, and sometimes driving them beyond the limits they've set for themselves or beyond things they think are possible, I think really helps not only build the business, but build them as people.
Are you a good listener?
I wish I was better. I'm getting better. I'm a work in progress.
Mr. Chris?
So you started a business. You helped a fledgling business. You wrote a book. What's the next success? What you said you have a lot of energy. So what's the next step for you?
I really want to take our business and change it. I think it's just there's so many flaws in our business as far as, you know, how the regulations work and what people do and how people get the point across to, you know, and really how people are prepared for the different financial goals they have. I think it's just difficult to understand, first of all, what we do. It's difficult for people to do what we do. And I just want to make it a cleaner slate for people so, you know, they can get the advice they want, but more importantly, they can achieve the things in life that they want to achieve.
Lisa?
Yeah, you know, many of us come into a profession or a business because we're trying to fix something or we're trying to close a loop from a long time ago. And I'm wondering if any of that comes in to your business and your passion, that there's something from everything you've been through in your childhood that you're trying to, a wrong you're trying to make right or something you're trying to fix.
Well, there was definitely a story. My stepfather, a number of years ago, before he passed away, my stepfather, had an issue where he was kind of Madoffed. He had a broker that literally stole all his money. The broker had a drug habit and ran off with the money, basically. And he just taught me one time. He said, you know what, you've got to make sure when you're working with your clients, you always do the right thing. And that has been really important to me. And so I think a lot of the things I'm focusing on are, less about trying to make money and less about building a business and more about doing the right thing for the people that need the right thing done.
Wow. Let me ask you again. What is success to you? What's that look like?
Success is, I tell you, when I teach a class, and I can help someone understand something that was really difficult, that's success to me. If I mm-hmm. help someone achieve something that they never mm-hmm. thought they would ever mm-hmm. be able to achieve, that's success.
You married?
I am.
You have any kids?
I do. 3 kids.
Uh-huh. What's the similarity between what your gig is and being a dad?
Well, it's interesting. So my one son's a baseball player. My other son is a business owner. So at 15, he owns an Italian ice business. And
the apple doesn't fall far from the tree, does it?
And it's fun showing them, hey, this is how to do it. And so it's been a lot of fun. And my daughter's competitive with horseback riding. So being able to kind of help them along and help them think outside the box with them these things and work hard has been really important to me. And I think, help them achieve higher levels.
How's that parallel what you do with your team?
I'm always trying to get my team to think bigger. I think people just limit themselves so significantly and so easily, but anything's possible.
Mother's advice to you that you could do anything you put your mind to is what you're doing with your kids as well as with your team as well as with your clients. Isn't that fair to say?
It definitely is. Sometimes it rubs a little
what's
wrong
the website?
Way,
what's your website address?
It's CampbellWealth.com.
Let me have that one more time.
CampbellWealth.com.
We've been speaking with Kelly Campbell, President and CEO of Campbell Wealth Management, here on Executive Leaders Radio. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com, to learn more about our executive leaders. We'll be back in a moment. Right after this break. And your name and organization is?
Christopher Turley, First Virginia Community Bank.
And what's your role at First Virginia Community Bank, Chris?
I'm the regional lending executive as well as senior vice president. I manage the commercial industrial as well as government contracting group based in Ruston.
Are you married or single?
I'm happily married.
How long have you been married?
6 years.
And what's your wife know about how you feel about your job?
She knows I'm very passionate, that I care a lot about what we do on a daily basis and the customers that I serve.
What are you talking about? Tell me more about that.
On a daily basis, I work with a myriad of different companies, different individuals, as well as different industries. And each has a very important factor that we help them with, working lines of capital, merger and acquisition financing, equipment, everything that helps them kind of operate their business more smoothly.
But it's just a job.
It's more than that. It's really being a part of their business and helping them make their financial goals a reality.
What are you talking about? I know the bankers make decisions by numbers. What are you talking about?
Well, I think it goes beyond just the numbers. I think there's a lot of character decisions. There's a lot of reading between the lines and finding the grays to make the real world work within the standard banking environment.
So you're telling when you say character, what are you talking about character? What do you mean?
Well, I mean the background of the individual, our belief that they are a good operator, that they know how to operate their business, that they're going to be successful, and that they're going to stand behind their business as well as the loan that we're providing.
So when
them.
You make a decision regarding a loan, it's not just the numbers. You're trying to meet the people, and you're telling me if you really like the character of the people, you'll go to bat for them?
Absolutely. I think that's one thing a lot of business owners don't realize is they need to have a financial partner that is going to go bat for
what's
them.
What's your website address?
FVCbank.com.
Let me have that one more time.
FVCbank.com.
And your name again is?
Christopher Turley.
And your title is?
Regional Lending Executive and Senior Vice President.
And this is First Virginia Community Bank. This has been your Business Spotlight.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet under $30,000.
Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait.
Call 800-605-5370. 800-605-5370. Call 800-605-5370.
If you're one of the millions of Americans who can't work because of a serious injury or illness, you may be eligible for disability benefits from Social Security. Receiving benefits is your right. It doesn't matter if you've applied before and the government has said no. Let the experienced attorneys at Bill Gordon and Associates help you get the Social Security disability you deserve. Their team of attorneys have been fighting for benefits for people just like you for over 20 years. And best of all, there's no fee until you receive your benefits. There are many conditions that make you eligible, including some you may not even be aware of. So if you're disabled and unable to work, call Bill Gordon and Associates today for your free no-obligation consultation. See if you qualify for the Social Security benefits you need and deserve. 800-470-4453. 800-470-4453. 453. That's 800-470-4453. Investing is a long-term process. How many times can you think of in the last decade that the stock market has destroyed retirement funds for people just like you and me? For your existing IRA, you need the security that gold has provided for centuries. Remember, gold has never been worth zero. Capital Gold would like to introduce you to the Home Storage Gold IRA. It's a self-directed IRA set up with all the protection and tax benefits of an LLC. But the big difference in this IRA is you invest in gold and you hold it in your possession. You can't do that with stocks. That's security. You can transfer any type of IRA hassle-free in days. Please call right now and learn more, and we'll waive the $500 setup fee and give you a free safe to store your gold. Call 800-223-0092. 800-223-0092. 800-223-0092. That's 800-223-0092.
Biz Talk Radio.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen. And we'd like to introduce Simon Gallette, who is the managing partner of ILD. Simon, what is ILD? What are you guys doing?
Sure. ILD is a holding company. Our primary activity is to run a franchise, College Sitters. We have about 250 people serving families, over 1,000 families in the D.C. metro area.
Uh-huh. So you're a franchisee.
I am.
Of a franchisor. How long have you been a franchisee?
Started May 2014.
All right. So it's been, you know, 3-4 years. And I understand that not only are you just a franchisee, you're one of the top franchisees. Why?
Well, we live what we do. So we're a family business, and we care a lot about families. I have a young daughter. She's 3 years old, and we use the service ourselves. We help a lot of working parents. So my wife is very much involved in the business, and I think representing to families who are seeking help, that is exactly what I do. That makes me successful in the franchise.
So you run this business with your wife.
I do.
And you mentioned earlier that you grew up in the Netherlands and moved to a boarding school in England that had a pretty profound effect on you. And what kind of effect did it have on you? What happened there? What did you learn from being at boarding school?
Yeah, I moved from the Netherlands to boarding school in England when I was 11 years old, and I was really excited about going to the school because I thought, well, this is a great chance to make deep friends and to really accelerate my career by being great at school, which I had always had been up to that point. But I really missed my parents when I left, and when I saw them driving off, I bawled, I cried my eyes out, and I was homesick for a very long time. Mm-hmm. But having said that, I made some very deep friends. My longest and deepest friendships are with the people that I met at boarding school.
You also mentioned that And we just got the sense in the green room when we were talking earlier that you're a really loyal kind of guy. You like long-term relationships, that you really enjoy the depth of relationships. And I'm wondering, what does that personality trait have to do with building one of the top franchises in your industry?
Well, I think this industry relies a lot on reputation and trust and respect. And the better you get to know somebody, the more you want to spend time with them. And obviously, our services, in large part, we bill for the time that our employees spend with families. And that's really the business model. But the values that of loyalty and having a strong...
My bet, though, is that one of the reasons that you don't have a lot of turnover and you've got loyal employees, a loyal team, is because of you, because of your own nature. I mean, you treat everybody with dignity and respect, don't you?
I try to. I mean, we're a human capital business. So in this day and age with a lot of software around, I still think human relationships matter.
Mm-hmm. John?
Simon, you grew up with your parents were expatriates, and then you yourself has lived a bit of an expatriate life. You came to the U.S. from Korea recently to start this business we've been talking about. How does being a child and an adult as an expatriate, how does that serve you in running this business?
Yeah, in unexpected ways, I think would be the answer to that. I mean, being an expatriate, you get to meet a lot of people from very diverse backgrounds in this area where we live. There's a huge amount of diversity, so our employee base and our customer base reflect that diversity of language background, of ethnic background, of nationality.
Mm-hmm. LaDonna, what are you thinking?
Can you tell me a little bit? I mean, you are, we know that you really academically have a passion for this industry. I mean, did you have a role model growing up that kind of introduced you to academy?
Or to business, either way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I like to think that I'm good at finance and at education. In my current business, I combine both. In terms of role models, I mean, my dad is a great influence on me. He didn't go to university himself. He left school when he was 16. He grew up in London in the Second World War, was evacuated. But his spirit of resilience, you know, Churchillian, I dare say, is something that I value today.
Kristen?
It seems like it would be quite hard for a young boy to go off to boarding school. What attributes did your parents arm me with to make it through boarding school on your own?
Well, my dad, of course, as I said just a moment ago, he's very independent and very, very much a strong provider for the family. So that reliance on self and independence is something that I had to really improve upon when I went to boarding school.
Rob,
I did have an older brother there too.
Mm-hmm. Rob?
Well, having an older brother there, you mentioned you had a competitive instinct. How has that competitive instinct helped you to build your business?
Yeah, the business part, I mean, it's a lot about finding who your competitors are. This is a very fragmented industry, and actually by presenting a face of strength, I think that gives you the edge. If the door is slightly open, being competitive can give you the will and the drive to open that door.
Mm-hmm. Stephen, what do you got there?
You went to boarding school where you have to learn how to take care of yourself, but now you run a business where you take care of children. What's the connection there?
Uh-huh.
Well, taking care of people, I think, is the connection there. We are very much a caring organization. The values that we have within the company are values that we expect from our employees. But I think, again, we live what we do in the organization.
Mm-hmm. Mark?
Growing up, there are certain opportunities and things that you missed and got to take advantage of. How does that affect the types of services that you offer as a company?
Well, there's an economic drive to a lot of this. I think working families is something that I came from. My mother was a part-time music teacher. My dad was an air traffic controller, so both parents were working. And I think in this day and age, the working families are the norms. They are our predominant customer.
Mm-hmm. John?
Have you always had this independent streak, as you said, may have stemmed from your father? Or did you, I mean, weren't you, when you come out of school, just go work for a big company for 40 years and just be in the middle of it and that's fine? Why are you a franchisee with your own business?
Well, the opportunity arose really to get into this franchise. have never dreamed for working for a big company. I think working in a franchise, you are in control of your own destiny to a large part. I mean, even with the number of people that are in our organization locally here, it's still a fairly small business. And it's not a large multinational corporation.
Simon, what is the website address for your organization?
ILDeducation.com. That's India Lima Delta Education.com.
Excellent. All right. Mr. John Hillen, can you give us a rundown on who we've had the opportunity of speaking with?
Sure. You? Today we've spoken with Adam Vinson, who's the co-founder and CEO of Threat Connect. Roger Dow is the president and CEO of the U.S. Travel Association. Larry Nixon, who's a shareholder at Nixon and Vanderhei. And just now, Simon Gillett, who's the managing partner of ILD.
Excellent. I'd like to thank my co-host, Kristen Rebeck from Cressa, Mark Haas, AEG, John Hillen, George Mason University, Rob Longman, Longman and Van Grack, LaDonna Simon, First Virginia Community Bank, and Steve Marino, Agency Q, for giving me a hand structuring the questions. He'll be providing our listening audience an educational and entertaining show. I'd like to thank our listening audience for listening. Otherwise, we wouldn't have a radio show. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com, to learn more about our executive leaders. It's executiveleadersradio.com. To learn more about our executive leaders, and thank you for joining us today, and do have a nice day. Bye-bye. Well, we nailed that. Excellent. Okay.
The opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. Please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com. Biz Talk Radio.